Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Unique, Life Starring You. This show airs every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/younique.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at artist_first. And now here is your host of Unique, Susan Stackpole.
Thank you, Corey, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here on YO Unique, Life Starring You. We are what we are because of you, and we thank you so much for your support. We have a little project here that we like to call Pray It Forward, and we ask that sometimes there are some disconcerting things in the media or maybe even in the lives of people that you know, and there are studies that show that prayer, meditation, and loving thoughts do make a difference in improving the situation, and so we ask that when you see those things, you just send a little love or prayer their way. We have a special treat tonight. There's one of those people that are just extra special, and we're delighted to have her with us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Sarah. Sarah Kaus is an international wedding and portrait photographer, and she is a go-to favorite for country music artists snapping photos of top artists including Jason Aldean, Big and Rich, Sarah Darling, Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood, and many, many more. She is known for her photojournalistic style and colorful, dynamic photos, all captured with spontaneous, energetic personality. Sarah's passion for music and people is obvious in her work, and she specializes in photographing concerts, destination weddings, and especially musicians. She speaks across the country on building successful photography businesses, and she teaches workshops educating photographers on proper shooting techniques. Sarah is one to watch in the coming year as her star continues to rise and shine. We're just absolutely excited to have with us Sarah Kaus. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you so much. That's a very, very wonderful introduction. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Susan.
Well, it's just because you're so wonderful.
Oh.
Sarah, for those who are just joining us, well, first of all, we'll tell them, please check out Sarah's website at www.sarakausmusicians.com, and that's S-A-R-A-K-A-U-S-S, musicians.com. And you can also find her on Twitter at Sarah Kaus, S-A-R-A-K-A-U-S-S. Sarah, for those people who may just be introduced to you tonight, please share with us a little bit about when your love for photography began. I sort of imagine maybe you were one of those children sort of running around with a camera in your hand.
And I was, actually. You know, I've always been artistic. I've always had a passion for anything that worked with that side of the brain, whether it was painting or it was photography or it was building arts and crafts with my grandmother in Indiana, being, you know, a small child and making unique things sort of just come out of nothing, basically. And that's always been something that I've really enjoyed. And I didn't realize that I could do something, make photography into a career, basically, until later on in my life. But starting off in high school is where I initially found my love for photography and found that that was something that I wanted to pursue. And it was working with, you know, the high school yearbook and doing photos. I have a really fun photo, actually, of myself in my high school yearbook where I have 4x6 print pushpins covering every square inch of my bedroom four walls. And I was always the photographer. I spent so much money on 4x6 prints at Walmart. It was ridiculous. And I would always make duplicates. And so I would give one of my friends a duplicate copy. And I would one of the copies to pushpin to my wall. So I have really interesting, a really fun little history with photography. But I think that that's kind of, it kind of just developed from a passion of art, I feel like, as a young child, though. So.
Oh, I love that. And I love that that you just sort of knew early on. And so for you, Sarah, what was the turning point in terms of taking it from what was a very passionate hobby to moving into having it as a career?
I think understanding that I could photograph people for a living, And that came from hiring my wedding photographer actually almost 8 years ago, Derek Smith with Sunshine Photographics, and he's based out of Orlando. And when I hired him to photograph my wedding, photography was so important to me at that time. And to hire, you know, someone that could uniquely capture my wedding and make it fun and really tell the story of the day. And after kind of going through a ton of photographers and finding, you know, the right person that was suited for me, I realized, wow, I've done a lot of research on this, on, you know, this part of something that's so important to me. And then the product of my wedding photography by Derek was, you know, just so amazing and so emotional. And I loved seeing all those moments captured again that were so important to me. And that was really kind of the turning point for me. And that's where I really started, was in the wedding photography piece of it. And Derek really was kind and gracious enough and wonderful enough to kind of teach me the ropes in the beginning and help me really get started. And then I kind of took it from there, basically.
Wow. It's amazing that you had such a wonderful mentor to help you get started and to affirm to you that, okay, wow, this is really the path I'd like to take in life. And I was wondering if you could give us some advice, Sarah, especially the last couple of years. I think people have come to realize more about, like, what is their passion, and maybe it's something they're just doing as a job, maybe not as a career. And so what advice would you have for people who are maybe confused or still searching for what, you know, their passion and their purpose in life?
Oh, I love that question, Susan. That's a really great question. And I think it's a really, really, really important question. And I think the biggest thing that people need to understand is not to be afraid and, you know, not be afraid of finding out what it is that they love doing and going after it, and not being afraid of no, and don't be scared, and use your, you know, scared and nervousness and just turn it into excitement. And, you know, going out for photographers, and that's what I can really relate it to, is if you're a new up-and-coming photographer and you've seen pictures and you've seen work that inspires you, and you're so excited about, you know, turning that into a career, really just reaching out and finding somebody that, you know, could mentor you, but also just kind of being able to go after, I guess, what's inspiring to you. I think I lost my train of thought, actually.
No, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. No, and I think that's excellent advice, because I think what happens, Sarah, even kind of to you at the beginning, where you almost maybe didn't even think of it as a career, because you were, well, how would I make money, or how would I make a living with this? And so once it became clear to you of how you could support yourself and do it as a career, I think it made, oh, okay, let's move forward. And so I think what happens is a lot of people just write things off immediately, because they think, oh, I could never make money at this, or this is just a hobby, or that sort of thing. So especially what you said about, you know, being brave and just, you know, looking at what inspires you and taking a chance, I think that's all great advice.
Well, and I also feel that you definitely want to go after your passion and do something, but you also have to realize that you're going to work hard at it. So whether it's, you know, my husband sells software systems to hospitals, and so he, it's not as exciting and, you know, I don't think as glamorous basically as being a professional photographer, I don't think, but he's very passionate about the sales process, and he's very excited to sit in front of, you know, a room of 50 board members and present his product, and that's, you know, sort of the passion that he's found out of selling a software system, where, honestly, he's not the most technically savvy person I've ever met. So it cracks me up that's his job. But basically, it's you don't necessarily have to, I feel like, be a professional photographer and love what you do, if that makes sense. Like, you can be a computer software salesperson, and finding an element of what you do and finding something about what you're doing, it, you know, you're passionate about that piece, and really, 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 you know, promoting that part inside yourself is what is going to, you know, really motivate you to be successful. And I think knowing also that you really have to work hard at it.
It's as you were saying that, Sarah, I just in my mind have these comparisons thinking about obviously with the Olympics going on. And how, you know, when they talk to some of these athletes, especially the ones that maybe make a new world record and that sort of thing, that it's all about sort of the goals that they've set for themselves, not necessarily gauging by the world standards, however, by their standards, if they've been able to beat their own record and that sort of thing. And as you were saying that, it sort of reminds me of, it's a very winning attitude of that it's more an inner game than it is an internal game versus an external game. And so I think that's the secret is that, especially with you and like what you were saying about your husband, it's not something that you set out to do for some sort of external validation. It had a lot of internal validation that it was your passion. It was something that you loved. And so at the end of the day, with working hard, you know, you're feeling like you're putting it towards something that's really rewarding. And I think that's a really excellent point that you made. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. That is very true. It's very fun.
Sarah, obviously there's a lot that comes with, especially your particular genre, having so much work, especially in the music industry and especially in the country music industry. Could you share with us a little bit about how that began for you?
I would love to. My passion for music has always been there. I've always loved music. I've never been blessed with a voice to sing at all. And so my poor puppy dog probably listens to me sing horribly all the time. I'm just jamming out to music. But I've my passion for country music started as a young girl with my mom, and we would be in the car and listening to the Oak Ridge Boys and Paul Overstreet and Ricky Skaggs, and we would really just, we were always dancing and singing, and even in the car. And I absolutely love music, country music, from, you know, from being a young child. And then as I got older and was in high school and things, I liked all kinds of music and just really loved music. And so when I guess the sort of turning point for me as far as musician photography, coming from a wedding photography background, was capturing emotion in photography is my favorite challenge, basically, to really, really be able to look at a still photo and feel what was going on in that moment. And for weddings, it's fun because it was a challenge to try and get, you know, the emotion of people and things. And then I didn't realize that, again, it was sort of a realization for me where I was asked to do a photo shoot with Colby Kelly, with a really great awesome photographer friend of mine, Josh Newton, based out of California. And so doing that photo shoot with him, it was so neat because I'm like, I am actually capturing, you know, emotion from an artist that I love her music. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Colby Kelly's music. And and prior to the photo shoot, I was. And so it was really kind of neat for me to be able to sort of really mix the two, I guess, passions of, you know, music that I'm always listening to. And while I'm editing and working and, you know, doing all this fun stuff with photography, I'm always doing that and then kind of mixing the two of them. So after that photo shoot in California with my friend Josh Newton, I was doing actually a corporate photography event. I was shooting for a corporate company in Nashville, and I thought, oh my goodness, the light bulb went off in my head, and I'm like, why am I not photographing, you know, country music artists? I love country music, and I'd never been to Nashville up to that point, which is probably a good thing, because I would be living there then. Now, if I'd been there before, then I probably could have talked to my husband into living there permanently, but so it was neat, because I was able to go to Nashville and really start working with country music artists. And, you know, I talk about the Oak Ridge Boys being one of my favorite artists when I was a child and lived my whole life, and then being able to work with them actually recently was just probably the pinnacle of my photography career, I feel like, because it was just a lot of fun, so...
Oh, I love that. And it just keeps going on and on for you, which is awesome. Congratulations, Sarah.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, for anyone who may just be joining us, we're here with the lovely and talented Sarah Kauss, S-A-R-A-K-A-U-S-S, and her website is sarahkaussmusicians.com, and her Twitter is Sarah Kauss. Sarah, obviously, like, there's a lot that goes into capturing a really excellent photo, and then a especially when you have people who are using it, like the country artist, that it's part of their brand. And there's, in terms of, maybe walk us through, because I think people may not realize what goes into when you walk into a store, like into a department store, and you see the CDs on the shelves, or are looking at iTunes, and you see the liner notes and the photos and that sort of thing. Share with us a little bit of all the elements that go into taking those photos.
That is a really fun and detailed process, and it's really exciting and interesting. And I'm definitely, you know, over the past couple of years shooting the musicians now, getting into it and learning a lot more about really what goes into making those album covers and those promo shots. And I will tell you about it, and it's fun because it really starts with a concept that, depending on what the feeling of the album is going to be. So, one of the neatest, I think, album covers that I've seen in a while, and I didn't take this photo, and I think it's just absolutely phenomenal, but it's Miranda Lambert's new album cover, and she's like standing in front of this car on fire, and it's just so cool, and it's so, like, you know, just, you just want to, you know, be there, I don't know, or rescue her or something, I don't know, it's just neat, like,
it evokes a lot of emotion, it sounds like, yeah,
mm-hmm. It's such a cool thing, and, you know, I can use that as an example of just saying, you know, probably what happened with that image is they were just, you know, thinking of, okay, well, how can we really get people to just feel what this album is about without even opening, you know, or listening to the first song. And I think that is really the thought process of these producers and the artists, to make sure that first image that they're seeing is a true representation of the artist and of the music that they're about to listen to. And so I think that process is, it's a lot of people, all the artists that, you know, are on labels and things, they have a ton of people involved in creating them as, you know, their brand. And so for me, it's important that the artist is involved in that process, that it is really a true representation of the artist. And if it's not, you can tell. So if there is, you know, if there is an album cover or promo shoot where it's an artist where they've not really had involvement, you can kind of feel the difference. I mean, you can feel that picture doesn't really represent who that person is or their music. So I think it's really important that although there's probably 50 different levels of management and 50 different levels of, you know, people as a photographer, you're going to have to go through and talk to and make sure that, you know, everybody's all on the same page. And it's a challenge, and it's definitely a job to get all of the people, you know, agreeing, and then you as a photographer, you have a vision as well, and so you want to bring all of that to the table. But I think the core really does go back to making sure that the artists themselves are very truly being depicted in the photos.
Oh, I think that's such an excellent perspective, Sarah. And one of the things I think, especially as a photographer, that is a gift, and it's something that you seem to do well, is disappearing. And what I mean by that is that a lot of people feel very uncomfortable with having their photo taken, and, you know, it's like they go and they have the photo shoot, and then they look back, and there's maybe like one, like 100 photos that they like. Share with us a little bit about what is the strategy in terms of sort of allowing the true personality of whether it's for a wedding or an album cover, of really helping the person relax and show their true personality?
I think it's interesting because when it comes to concert photography, they there's a generally typically a rule of the photographers only have the first 30 seconds of the first like two songs, let's say, to photograph the artist. And and it's really for me, and I've talked to musicians and artists about this, and it's stressful for them because they're just getting on stage and they're performing, and no matter how comfortable almost every person looks, even Taylor Swift, as soon as she gets out of the back of the stage and is coming up to a crowd of 100,000 people or something astronomical, which she always comes out to,
right?
It's still exciting and it's still nervous, and she's still nervous whether or not you can tell or not. And so so the concert photography part is always a little bit unfortunate to me, that those first moments I think are sweet, because you can tell how I can feel how nervous the artist actually is. And then, you know, being able to only capture those first few seconds of the concerts themselves is a little bit challenging, but it's kind of fun. It's a fun challenge. It's fun to, you know, still make your images as a photographer look great and look emotional and look captured and capture those moments in time as well. But then, so back to your point of how then you, for an album cover or a promo shoot, how do you make the artist comfortable? And that is spending more than the first 30 seconds of their song with them, you know, and really, really being able to just talk to them. And, you know, I've actually asked on a promo shoot a couple of the artists, just I'll usually ask them, bring your guitar and sing. And honestly, just I want you to sit there and I want you to just be comfortable, jam out, like just have a good time. And 9 times out of 10, the artist will say to me, but don't you get like the worst pictures when you're singing? Like, you know, why would you want me to sing? And I'm like, no, I just really want you to be comfortable. And some of my favorite images have come from the artist just sitting there and relaxing and just being really into what they love. And I think that's what makes it comfortable. And granted, there's a lot of situations like, you know, the image that I was referring to that I did not take of Miranda Lambert and her album cover with the fire behind her and the, you know, the car and all that craziness that was going on. Obviously, she wasn't just standing there singing. But I think really putting whoever you're shooting in their most comfortable situation first. So really making them comfortable and then capturing what you need to capture as far as what the, you know, the production people are telling you to capture. So if they're telling you, listen, I really want a picture of the artist on an iceberg, you know, maybe taking them to a coffee shop first and being like, this is where we're going to shoot first, and then we're going to go to the iceberg. You know what I mean?
Right, kind of easing into it. Right. That's right. Sarah, all excellent insight. And I was wondering what advice you have for us in terms of a lot of, I guess, normal people maybe that aren't going to have their photos taken for album covers, or, you know, a lot of people, you know, have it taken for business, especially with the web nowadays. People have a lot of web presence, and there's so many people that I hear say, oh, I hate to get my photo taken, or if you're at a party or, you know, family gathering or something, people are like, oh, my gosh, just, you know, get it over. And so I was wondering what advice you would have for us about being more number one, getting good sort of candid shots just sort of for the layperson, and then number two, in terms of being the subject of a photo, what people can do to relax or get, you know, assure that they're getting a good photo of themselves.
I think that I kind of will relate it back to the photographer just a little bit first, maybe.
Okay, great.
I think that it's important for... I think it's important for the photographer to make them in a comfortable situation. First of all, if you're going to be taking someone's photo, like letting them be comfortable and making them realize that they don't have to be, you don't have to be posing. And for the photographer to really focus on capturing those moments in between the poses. So let's say the photographer's getting, you know, four people together and you're at a family reunion or something, and you're having, you know, your photo taken by a professional photographer. So really being comfortable, the four of you, you and your two brothers and mom or whatever are getting together for a photo, and the four of you are saying, what's the photographer saying? Gee, you know, smile or whatever. But it's important, I think, for the photographer to say something that is interesting or fun or funny, and capturing those moments in between the cheese. So I know with like a point-and-shoot camera, what I always tell people is don't count to three. So people always have a habit just in of taking a picture and saying, all right, one, two, three, smile, you know, and then taking a picture. But in reality, if you do that, that's fine. But Susan, if you were to go out and you were going to take, you know, a picture of your friends or whatever, if you actually snap the picture before you say one, that's the best moment, honestly. And so I think that that's kind of a fun little rule of thumb to take with you as a, you know, as a photographer of your life, is, you know, just really trying to make the pictures that you're capturing be more unexpected, even when it's posed, if that makes sense. Like even when you're posing, they're just trying to capture those unexpected moments before it gets, because then you know you're going to be on camera.
Well, I think that that's what it is, Sarah, is I think a lot of people, when they know that they are getting their picture taken, that their head sort of gets in the way. You know what I mean? That they're sort of thinking like, oh, okay, and, you know, stand this way, or, you know, what kind of a smile do I have, or don't blink, or, and so there's a lot that goes through their head, and I have a photographer friend of mine, too, that he said that what he comes across is where somebody maybe told them in the third grade that they had big ears or a small nose or whatever that is, that sort of sticks with them is in the back of their head, and so they get very self-conscious. So I like your idea of sort of doing something spontaneous and getting that moment before people really realize that they're going to be on film, because they're not thinking so much, and it's a more natural stance.
Yeah, that's exactly right on. That's a great way to look at it. It really is, and it's good with, you know, it's good with everybody to do it, you know, anybody that's just going to take a picture, even with your iPhone for Facebook.
Oh, I love
that. Just trying to capture.
I love that. That's fantastic. That's very, very, very helpful. And it seems like that's what you do with a lot of your artists as well, is you really capture like these natural, fabulous moments where they're just like spontaneous and joyful and just energetic and fun.
Well, thank you. It's important. I feel like music in general has given me such happiness, and it just brings back so many fun times and memories for me, listening to a song, and there's some really great songs that actually refer to that as, you know, what a song brings back for you in your mind. And so as a photographer, I feel like it's my honored goal, you know, my honor to be able to capture memories for other people and for artists, for whoever, and really capture those memories for them, and so they have something to look back on and remember their times that they had.
Oh, I love that. And that's one of the things that I find very inspiring about you, Sarah, is that you go into a situation sort of thinking, what can I give this artist? What can I give this client? And I would love to have you share a little bit with us about that philosophy, because I think we live in a world today where a lot of people are looking at what they can get, and honestly, you're such a generous person just in terms of, you know, helping other people in your industry, or, you know, even in the music industry and that sort of thing. Where does that attitude come, and what advice would you give for us to cultivate more of that attitude in our lives?
Oh, well... I'm always blushing when I talk to you. Thank you. You can't see this, but I really, really appreciate your kind words. You're such a sweet person. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Susan.
That goes both ways. I mean, really, you know, there's things we won't talk about tonight. However, I will share with our listeners, you're just one of the most generous people, and you just really go above and beyond to help people. And like I said, you just have such a giving attitude, and it is very inspiring, because there's so many people today, I think especially people who haven't gotten in their career to where it is they'd like to be, or, you know, maybe they had a negative experience and they got jaded. And so, like I said, I think sometimes it's tough for people to be in a stance of going into a situation and saying, well, what can I contribute? What can I give? And that's just so sort of, it seems very natural to you. And so would just love any pointers that you can offer us to cultivate more of that attitude and that approach in our lives.
Wow, well, thank you. I think that it's I guess it's something that you, I don't know, I feel like it's something that you can try and, like, teach and share, but you just need to be inspired, and you need to find, as a person, like, really what we had kind of talked about from the beginning is what inspires you as a person, and what really, what gets you going, and how can you be motivated to want to, like, get up every morning and do what you, you know, do what you have to do. And even if, you know, even if you're, let's say you're working at Starbucks as a barista or something. I don't know. That's so fun. Actually, I would really like to do that. Starbucks, if you're listening, can I please have a part-time job there? Because I absolutely love you. But, you know, if you're coming into work every morning and just finding something that is providing joy for you, whatever that is that you, you're doing. I'm actually going to tell you, I had an amazing opportunity just this weekend to meet a celebrity wedding photographer. And so there's a photographer, Joe Busink, and he only really photographs celebrity people and does all of their weddings and things. And he's very well known in the photography industry. And I was really, really inspired just by speaking with him in person and talking with him, and we did a couple photos together, and that was really fun. And I was talking to him, and I hadn't really done too much work, too much research on him prior to meeting him. I knew of him and things. And so when I came home, I Googled him, and I found this really amazing inspirational quote on him that he had said. And he said in his quote, "Once you get an idea of who you are as a person slash photographer, you start to develop that style inherently. Because of that, it's no longer focusing on others and what they're doing to you. It's now what you are going to do for yourself." And I just thought that was really a neat, you know, thing that he had said. Like, just as a photographer and as a when I was a newer photographer, you're constantly looking at other people's work and you're like, I'm never going to be that good. And I don't even know what my style is. And I have no idea, like, who I even am and what am I doing? And am I ever going to make money doing this? And oh my gosh, you're just so completely overwhelmed. And I feel like it's such a good point that you will develop your style, and you will, I promise you, you know, and if it doesn't happen, send me an email, because I promise you in 3 years of you starting your photography career and just pushing forward, you will find a style, and you will be, you'll wake up one day and be like, oh my goodness, this is who I am. And it's just kind of cool. And I think that's probably that way with any passion that, or any career that is artistically based. It's like, just give yourself 3 years. And they say it takes 3 years to start a business, and it takes 3 years to get that business going. And it's very true. For some reason, that three-year mark, and I feel like that happened with me as well, is just, you know, just kind of pushing forward and not worrying about, though, like what Joe had said, not worrying about what others are doing to you and making you, bringing you down, and really just kind of remembering that it's not about other people. It's really about you and, like, what you want to do. Being selfish, you know?
I think that's such excellent advice, though, Sarah. I think especially because we live in a globally connected world now, it's made people aware, and it's great because it's given us access to so much information. However, I think that sometimes when people maybe are having a little bit of an issue with low confidence, or like you said, they're still searching for, okay, I know, you know, whether it's photography or accounting or architecture or whatever it is, sort of searching who are they within that career or that work. And I love what you said about the idea of sort of figuring out who you are, kind of the way that you made the connection, finally saying, like, wow, I love music and I love country music and I love taking photos, ta-da. I think that's sometimes where people give up, where they sort of say, oh, this is never going to work, or I don't know who I am. And so I love your advice of sticking with it and just sort of, you know, giving themselves the time to come into their own. I think that's really wonderful, helpful advice. Thank you for that.
It is. And I think that time is what is so important. And you know, time is what heals people too. So let's say you have had a bad experience, you know, and you have been hurt or jaded by someone, or somebody said something mean that really affected you, or there's, you know, some experiences in your past that have come into this. I mean, we all have had very interesting childhoods and very interesting lives up to this point, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of things in my life that have happened, and negative and positive, but, you know, the negative things for some reason seem to always outshine the positive things, I feel like, until you work on them. And so I think that just really sticking to that and realizing that just time does really help everything, and it also helps you grow, and it helps you become, it really does help you become who you are. So I'll say too, there's a friend of mine, and she said, I'm going to get off of Facebook. She goes, there's all these moms on Facebook, and all these moms, all they do is like talk about all the amazing things they're doing with their children. And I'm like, friend, really? I was like, they are only talking about the 1% of amazing things going on in their life. Meanwhile, the rest of their life, they are a normal mom that has normal children, like, and they are doing the same normal things you're doing. But she was so frustrated with Facebook because of all the, like, you know, bragging people that were saying, you know, positive things that they were doing.
I know that's such a great point that you make, Sarah, because I think sometimes when our lives aren't exactly where we'd like them to be, that what happens is we do this sort of minimization, maximization thing. So it's like, it's almost like taking a microscope or a magnifying glass and putting it on exactly what you said, is like people are sharing something great in their life, and like you said, it may be 1%. However, it's like we have this idea in their head that it's like, you know, it's like sunshine and rainbows and flowers everywhere they go, and then we're looking at our lives going like, well, why isn't it that way for me? It's so wonderful for everyone. And I think that that's a really excellent perspective, especially I think for whatever reason in the anything dealing with the entertainment or artistic profession, because it just is one of those things where, you know, people just sort of work and work and work, and it's not necessarily a linear path, or it's not necessarily a straight sort of vertical path. It sort of comes and goes in cycles, and the key, like you said, is to give it time, and especially like to set your own path rather than trying to meet something outside of yourself and engage yourself, because I think that that can have a really negative effect sometimes on your self-worth.
I totally agree. And it can make you feel like, well, all these people are doing all these fabulous things. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you also, knowing from the people that I've met along the way, is that there's this, you know, people say famous people are real people. Well, they are only living in that 1% of fame as well when you see them. I mean, they are real people. There are people that I've met that I like that are, you know, out in the spotlight. And then there's people that, you know, I'm okay with without working with. You know what I mean? Like, it's just how it is. People are real. And so also having an understanding that, you know, those moms that my friend was nervous about because she wasn't doing those things, you know, that she wasn't being the same great mom, you know, I'm like, she's just that 1%. She's just sharing that 1% of her life with you, and she's a real mom too. So.
And I think that's such a brilliant perspective, Sarah, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think that, especially I think for today's youth, because we live in kind of a fame-obsessed culture, is that, you know, that's obviously a challenging time anyway, or for people who maybe, like I said, that they've been in a profession that maybe they did it just because it's like, well, this will pay the bills and it's not my passion, and so they're starting over, and the tendency is just to be hard on ourselves. You know, it always amazes me. I think sometimes we're our worst judge and our worst critic, and we say things to ourselves in our own minds that we would not ever even dream of saying to another human being. And so it's important to keep that in perspective, that sometimes we're using that almost as a way to like beat up on ourselves, like, oh, you should be further ahead, or, you know, that sort of thing. So I think that that's just a really wonderful thing, and just appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For anyone just joining us, we're here with the beautiful Sarah Kaus, www.sarahkausmusicians.com, and that's S-A-R-A-K-A-U-S-S, and you can also find her on Twitter at Sarah Kaus. Sarah, one of the things, obviously, in building a successful business, especially photography, is the artistic side of things, and then the other side is also the business aspect of things. Please share with us a little bit about how the business side of things has worked for you, and maybe any tips or suggestions you have for our listeners in terms of things that you did that helped you build your business that may also be helpful for them.
Thank you, Susan. That's a really great question as well. I love being interviewed by you. You're just wonderful and full of really good, you know, helpful tips. I think that people will take something away from this, and I hope that everyone listening does take a couple things away from this. But the number one thing I would, I do hope that anyone starting a business or a younger person that's in high school listening to this, that's, you know, trying to decide what they want to do with their life, please go to college. And that's, even if you're an artist, that is the last place you want to go. You do not want to go to college. And I will tell you from experience, I did not want to go to college. And actually, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, really, you know, encouraged me to stay in college when I was starting, I actually, you know, was starting in my artistic career. He was the one that really, my boyfriend at the time, my husband now, but was really encouraging me to, you know, make sure to stay in school. And that is so important. And I actually got a business degree from the University of Central Florida. And as an artist, I cannot tell you how wonderful that backing is to have a business degree and be able to run my business. And I see it with music artists where it's so awesomely important that I've seen the difference between an artist that, you know, has some business backing or at least has an understanding of it. And obviously, like musician artists, they often have a business manager, which is great in their entire career. But you really do need that business sense and that mindset to teach you to be marketing yourself and how to market yourself and how to understand your taxes. Or if you don't understand taxes, which I don't, you know, how that you really need to, you need to hire an accountant so you don't end up owing $10,000 of taxes or something crazy, you know what I mean, like every month or I don't even know. But.
Right, exactly, especially in the entertainment business.
It's so important. It's the business, the people that are the most successful have an understanding of at least the business background because it is a business and it is, you know, as 1% glamorous as we've talked about it appears on the outside, it is work and it's a hard business job. And if you don't have that understanding or that background, you won't make money. And in the end, it's you know, I don't want to say like I'm not about making money and I'm just going to like shoot forever. But I do have to pay my mortgage and I have to help my husband with the bills every month. And, you know, there's a lot of real life things that need to happen. And I can't just be floating around and photographing without being conscious of making money. Because in the end, you do have to make money, even though I'm passionate about it. It's still about that.
Right. So. Sarah, what one piece of advice, if you could have had your future self come back and sort of give you some information, especially when you were setting out to start your own business, which obviously is different than working for someone else, what advice would you sort of go back and give yourself now?
I would say don't be scared. You know, just really don't be scared and don't be afraid of no's from people. Continue to be out there even when continue to, you know, be positive and know that there's another no around the corner, but that will probably lead to at least one yes, maybe even out of 10. And that one yes can really be the turning point. So I think just understanding that there may be quite a few no's along the way, and that's okay, and you're going to be discouraged, and you're going to cry, and I don't know, I cry a lot. You know, I'm probably just an emotional girl, but my poor husband, but I mean, it's just, you know, I think that there's going to be a lot of things, and people have said to me, you know, oh, don't take things too personally, and you know, oh, you shouldn't let that affect you, but you know what? It did affect me. And that, you know, situation that I was in, it did affect me and it did hurt me. And I want to, you know, I do need to, you know, think about that and get over it. Yes. But I think, just there's certain things in life that you are going to be hurt and you are going to have a lot of challenges. And that's just that's just life. And that's just, and it's any career and it's any business. And it doesn't matter how great you look on, you know, how great your business looks on Facebook. You know, people are like, oh my goodness, you're traveling the world and you're doing all this stuff and it's so great. You must have like the best life. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And, you know, just I think not being afraid to work hard and not being afraid of no, I think is a really good advice that I would want to share.
That's fabulous, because I think that that's what stops a lot of us, is that, you know, we pull back instead of pushing forward, and because, you know, everybody's afraid of the no, and I know the way I always look at it is that, you know, for every no, it just makes more room for the yeses, so, so that's the way that I tend to look at it, because, you know, it's going to lead you to the people and the experiences that are for you, and one thing I admire about you, Sarah, is that, you know, talking about some of the things you've been through, I always look at it and say that you can let the experience make you better or it can make you bitter. And you're one of those people that you choose to let things make you better. So kudos for that.
Yeah.
Sarah, we have just a couple minutes left.
Okay.
Is there anything in particular, for anyone listening, we're here with Sarah Kaus, S-A-R-A-K-A-U-S-S. Please visit her website, sarahkausmusicians.com, and Sarah Kaus on Twitter. Sarah, is there anything in particular you'd like people to check out on your website?
I actually, under the About section of my website, I had a really amazing friend of mine, Mike Verrill, and he is mikeverrill.com, and he's a filmmaker. He just recently put together something that was, I thought, really unique and special and talked about me as and showcased my passion for what I get to do under the About section of my website. And that really just kind of, I know we've talked about me, I feel like, the whole interview, and so that's, you know, just a little bit more about me, I guess. But I think that that's a really special thing. And then you know, I guess there's a bunch of photos on my website, and I'm thankful for, I have another really good friend that designed my website, David Streaker, and he put all of that together. So, I don't know, you can just check out my work, I guess. I don't know.
Love it.
And follow me on Twitter. I would love to have more Twitter followers. I think that would be fun.
Great. Absolutely. Sarah, what's one thing that you'd like us to walk away knowing about photography?
I think one thing about photography that you could walk away with is it's not about capturing as much as you can in photos and things. It's really just capturing those special moments and remembering that if you're a photographer, that it's really what you're capturing could be the most important moment of somebody's life. I had somebody recently send me a note that said, you know, you captured this moment, and it was a friend of mine that actually just recently passed away of cancer. And so you captured this moment of her laughing at me, and we were talking, and that really, like, those kind of, I've had a couple of those situations happen where they, you know, people have said, like, the pictures that you captured have, you know, really put, they were special then because they were laughing or we were talking, and I can remember what was being said because of that photo. But I feel like it really hits home when that image is brought back after that person is no longer with you, whether it's a grandparent or it's, you know, somebody that is just a friend of yours or something like that. So I think that as a photographer, speaking to other photographers, it's just really important to realize, like, what we do is, it's priceless. It really is. And it's something that to keep that in mind when you're photographing, because you just don't know the moments that you're capturing, what they could, you know, what they could mean to someone else.
I think that that's a really potent example when you think about just all of us, you know, you think about images you grew up, family photos or even reunion photos or whatever it was that get put in the scrapbook that it just doesn't really dawn on you at the time, and then you go back and, you know, maybe it was before people were married or when your grandparents were still with you or whatever it was. And I think that that's a really potent example. Thank you for sharing that with us, Sarah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Sarah, what advice would you give anyone who's interested in moving from maybe, say, point and shoot to taking more professional photographies or learning a little bit more about the type of professional photography that you do?
I would suggest buying a SLR camera. And what that means is it's the cameras that have the interchangeable lenses. And the difference between a point-and-shoot camera and an SLR camera is the single-lens reflex cameras are going to just shoot, like they're just going to shoot. And that's the best example that I can give that. And it's especially important, I think, for someone that has children or someone that is wanting to capture sports or someone that's wanting to, you know, go to a concert and get some really cool images really quickly. I think having Canon makes a really great Rebel. It's called a Canon Digital Rebel, and I would definitely recommend starting with a camera like that. And just because you can capture things so quickly, it's a big camera. And the other thing I would recommend that I would tell you is that when you do get that camera, don't be afraid to use it, and don't be afraid. You can't hurt these cameras. I hope my husband's not listening to this, but I have probably, you know, dropped my camera so many times. I've beat them up, and they're still great, and that's why they are more expensive. You know, they're going to be pricier than obviously your point and shoot camera, but
you can
but
do
they're really durable.
Yep. Okay, great. Super. And Sarah, we have just about a minute.
Okay.
What do you have any advice or maybe like a personal mantra or something that you just feel has really served you well that you would share with us this evening?
Just have fun. Be happy. I don't know. Just have fun and be happy and be a positive person. And just being nice to people is such a funny thing. But I tell you what, like just being nice and courteous to people along the road of life will get you so far. And it's amazing to me, like, you know, how just a thank you and just, you know, being nice to people, how far that'll actually take you. And I know that's not something that you can really teach, but it's something you can teach to three-year-olds. So if there's three-year-old listening, please know that you need to be nice. Listen to your mommy.
I think that's excellent advice for all of us. Sarah, you just are absolutely a delight and a true inspiration. And thank you so much for sharing your light and your wisdom with us this evening. It's been an absolute delight and an honor to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, thank you, thank you for reaching out and having me. I'm honored to have been a part of your show. So thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Well, that absolutely goes both ways. And for anyone who just tuned in, we were speaking with Sarah Kaus, SaraKauss, and that's SaraKausMusicians.com and Sarah Kaus on Twitter. And you're listening to Unique, YOU Unique, Life Starring You. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.